Thank you. Good morning. My sermon today is about who's going to be your father-in-law. And previous to receiving this word, I was a little bit nervous. So I was like searching on Google for jokes about in-laws, but I couldn't find one joke about father-in-laws. But and it's a pity because my mother-in-law is in service. But Agnes, you are a wonderful, wonderful mother-in-law. So this joke is not about you. There's a man. He was smiling and he walked into the police office. And he said to the police officer, "My car has been stolen." So the police officer was like, "But why are you smiling then?" "Well, my mother-in-law was in that car." Before I start, I want to take you along in a story. My wife is translating today, so I got some instructions that I had to speak clearly and loud in the microphone. But I want to take you along in a story about two brothers, a younger brother and an older brother. It's a weekend. The younger brother was visiting the older brother. They're going out. And in the middle of the night, they walked home. And the elder brother asked the younger brother. They were all drunk. They were both completely wasted and drunk. And the older brother said, "Is this what life is all about? Drinking, going out, girls." But the younger brother, he didn't understand. So the older brother, he was sad that he didn't understand and he was silent. So he walked up to the apartment where the older brother lived. And the older brother couldn't sleep. And middle in the night, he went out of his bed and he was crying. He was crying out of such a deep sadness. Because up to that moment of his life, he was crying. He went on his knees. He didn't know the Lord, not at all. So maybe somebody prayed for him, his grandmother or whomever, but he did not know the Lord. But he went on his knees and he asked the Lord, "Lord, help me. I don't want this anymore. I don't want to live like this." I want a Christian woman. I want to get married. I want a family. And that's my dream. The story is about me and about Vivian. I asked Vivian if I get to tell our story, because it's important that I share our story before I start preaching about the word. Because before I share this, I want you all to know what I went through. So I will share this, finish the story in how I experienced this. I went on my knees and I asked the Lord, "Lord, I want a family. I want a Christian woman." And I went to bed. I went to sleep. I forgot about my prayer. And 2 weeks later, I worked for the government in Amsterdam. And I organized soccer competitions for people who work for the government every year. And that year, it was in Dronten. And I came. We slept in a hotel, and I saw my wife in that hotel. And I told all the and I told all the men, like, "She's mine, and nobody gets to talk to her." And I tried to get her attention. She was on a holiday here in the Netherlands because she was on a Bible school in America. And everything that I did, she ignored me completely. She didn't want anything to do with me. And I understand why. Because I was like a pig at that moment. I was not the Lord. So she was entirely right. But eventually, because I was persistent, and eventually she said, okay, I will come and watch the soccer game. And we wanted to say goodbye. I wanted to give her a kiss on the cheek, and she was like, no. Well, can I have a hug then? So I gave her a hug. And suddenly, I pushed her away. And she was like, weirdo, he's crazy. But I pushed her away because I don't know how I can really explain it, but it was like I got a shock. And on that moment of the shock, I saw myself in my bedroom crying on my knees 2 weeks prior. And I didn't tell her anything. We said goodbye, and I called my family, and I was like, I met my wife. And after being persistent and dating, and eventually, and she was only talking about Jesus. And I was just like eating it up and receiving it. And eventually I gave my life to the Lord. I got baptized. But after that, we had a period of like marriage counseling, deliverance, because I just got to know Jesus. My life was horrible prior to that. So I really had to change. And I tell you this story because it's not the way it's supposed to be. This is totally not the way it's supposed to be. Because this is absolutely not what we want for our children. If somebody like me came to my door to date my daughters the way I was, no way, you're not going to be able to date my daughters. I share this with you because Vivian still has a part of shame on. But I said, honey, I got to share this because it's something prior to my sermon today. And Natanya was standing here a couple weeks ago, and she said something, and I already knew I was going to speak about it today. And she said really quickly, Kinderdienst, she's at the kids' service, and she quickly said she was married with an unbeliever, and I sat there, and I was already making notes, and I was like, oh, Father, that's for me a confirmation that I want to talk about this, because I saw her pain in the words that she spoke, and I saw that she was hurting in that moment that she shared that with us. So now we're going to the word of the Lord, and now I'm going to show you the way it is supposed to be. We're going to Genesis 24. And we start from verse 1 through 7. Now Abraham was old. He was in Exodus instead of Genesis. So one moment. What I want to talk about, what I want to show you all, is the story of a family, just like all of us. And in this story, we have a father, a mother, parents-in-law, a boy and a girl. And I want to take you along in this story because Vivian and I want for our children, like we want to do it this way, but let me first get started. Now Abraham was old, advanced in days, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who was in charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I live. But you will go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Should I take your son back to the land from where you came? Then Abraham said to him, be aware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel ahead of you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Here we see a father who is very committed to the choices of his son. He's very engaged in the choices. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is in God's word. So we told our children for later, with the choice of your husband or wife, that I want and my wife want to be involved in the decision making. Wonderful that you feel things and are in love. It's not all about that. It's about a conscious decisions for the most important person in your life. Has anybody ever seen the movie Courageous? The movie Courageous? Only one there. There's a scene in that movie. There's a father who takes his 12-year-old daughter out for dinner. And she had to dress herself beautiful as if she has a date with her future husband. And that father is sitting at the table with her, and the father also buys a ring for his daughter. And that father explains to his daughters, like, honey, on this moment, you are becoming a young woman. There will be a time that there's a young man who's going to knock on your door, and he wants all kinds of things. But honey, I want that you take this ring from me, and I will put it on your finger. And the moment when that man comes, I want to take that ring off of your finger and give your hand to that young man. And let me be involved in the decision making. Please. And that is what actually is here with Abraham. Abraham was involved with Isaac. That's the way I read it. And that's how we want to do that for our children. And that means, as men and priests of our home, should I not only be involved, but I should also know the Lord. Because to make a wise decision, to give a wise counsel to my daughter, I need to know the Lord. So that requires something of me, of a father, as a daddy. That I don't just go to work and then come back and leave everything to my wife. That's not what the Lord requires of me. I need to be just like Abraham. In this passage in 24, in chapter 23, Sarah died. So Sarah is not present anymore, so that's why I'm not talking about Sarah. But as a priest of our family, It's the responsibility of the... It's not only the wife who raises the children. I am responsible also to the children, to raise them up, conform to the word of the Lord. That's my job, not Vivian's job. And that means that I need to walk with the Lord like Abraham walked with the Lord and David and our perfect example, Jesus. That's my job. And now we're going to the second phase, and that's the servant, Eleazar. And we're going to verse 11 from the same chapter 24. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water when it was evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And then he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. What I just shared, the servant that you see here with the decision for a girl, for Rebecca. We're going to move on to that later, but he asks advice from the Lord. So he is like a piece, like you could kind of see it like Abraham in the Holy Spirit. He's asking advice from the Lord. Three times a week, I walk with our children, separate. So that means I get up very early because I have to work early. And during one of those walks, it's what, like about a month ago, I was walking with Mark that day. And I asked him, I always ask them questions. So it's like, how are you doing? Or I ask them, is there maybe somebody that you like? So Mark answered, and yeah, I think I have feelings for somebody. So Vivian and I talk about this a lot, like how shall we answer when our children answer us that way? So I was like, okay, fine. It's normal to have feelings at this age, but they are feelings, they're emotions. Because do you know what you're searching for in a wife? In other words, it's good to have feelings, but at this current moment in your life, is it not wise to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? We don't do that in our home. The choice? Yes, it's nice to have feelings for somebody, and it's normal that's supposed to be with your age. But what is really important right now is like, okay, fine. Is it a girl who listens carefully to her parents? Is it a girl who dresses herself modestly? Those are things that you should consider right now. It's like, okay, just really watch her ways. How does she speak to her parents? Because a lot of times, a girl or a boy who is very unruly and rebellious to the parents, that often translates into your marriage. So watch the ways of a girl or a boy that you like. And at that moment, I took his hand. I was like, come, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for your future wife. And that's what happens here with Eleazar. Abraham already prayed. And now through his servant, he's also praying for that woman, for Isaac. So what we do when we walk with our children or when we lay with them in bed and then we are praying for the future husband or wife. And now we're going to the girl in the story, Rebecca. And then we're going to verse 15. And it came about, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebecca, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had relations with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. And she said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will also draw water for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, she drew for all the camels. Meanwhile, the man was taking a close look at her in silence to find out whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold. And he said, so this is an answer to prayer for the servant. And what we see here for the young guys in this room, we see here a beautiful young woman. She's beautiful. But she's not just beautiful. Her heart is also good. She was beautiful inside and outside. That's what I was talking about just like now with Mark. And what the Lord also tells us, that we should not just look at the appearance of somebody, but also what's inside of the heart of a person, because that's so much more important. And then we read something about the parents of the girl. And we're going to verse 49. Chapter 24, verse 49. So now, if you're going to do kindly and truthfully with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me now, so that I may turn to the right or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter has come from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you, bad or good. Here is Rebecca before you. Take her and go. And let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Here we read that the future parents-in-law of Isaac, that they also recognized that this came from the Lord. So my sermon is, who is your father-in-law? I chose that on purpose. Because I realized who is truthfully your father-in-law depends on who you marry. And but let's say one of my children who would marry an unbelieving boy or girl. But then who will really be his or her father-in-law? Could anybody answer me? The devil will become the father-in-law. Satan will become your father-in-law if you marry an unbeliever. And that's why it's so important to do what the Lord says we should do. And that's why it's so important to marry a man or woman of God. Because when we married each other, it was very difficult in the beginning. And I praise God that we walked through and that God was faithful in our marriage. But it cost us a great deal, a lot of pain and sadness and disappointments, because in the beginning, I went through marriage counseling, deliverance, and so many things. If we had done it according to the word, that's why in the beginning Vivian didn't want me to share all of it. But when I stand here and when I'm sharing God's word here, I need to be honest. And also as an encouragement to the coming generation to not do it the way that we did it. Do it the way that God says you should do it. Also parents, but that really asks something of us as parents. Especially I'm looking at the men, the fathers. We as men, it's not just we're going to our work, we work real hard. It's wonderful. You need to provide for your family. But your biggest job is your family and not your work. Our job, and I speak to myself as well because I also made mistakes. I didn't always do it right. But right now, I'm working so purposefully that my children know the Lord, know the Word, know my love for them, and know that I do what God's Word says, so that when they look at me and watch me, that they see a little bit of the Son, Jesus Christ. So we went through marriage counseling. So I was also with Gerda de Ma. She's such a beautiful woman. She has been so involved in the beginning of our marriage. I was so often on her couch because I just didn't know how to do it. My father never taught me how to be a man. How you need to treat a woman. How you need to love her. How you need to keep your And I love my dad. I really love my dad. He's a strong man, and he worked very hard for our family, but he was never present. He was never... Like with the walks that I do with my own son or with my daughters, and then we really talk heart to heart. How is your penis doing? How is your heart doing? Everything, we talk about everything comes to the light. And I thank my wife. Because my Christian walk I started with a setback. She was ahead of me when she was a Christian. But I'm very competitive, so I always want to be the best. So I've been working so hard to get to the point where I'm at now. And Him, the Lord God, really changed my heart. And He really set me free of so much trash. But I don't want you all to go through that. Really. Listen to your parents and stay in God's word and stay in the Lord. And parents, it really requires something of us. It cannot be that you just go to your work and you just come home and your wife just has to do everything. It's our job. In a household, there's no democracy. There's no left and right. There's one responsible, and that's the husband. Under his government, his leading, because I need to do it with him. So I need to be an example to my girls and my boys. And the father-in-law, the parents-in-law of Isaac, they recognized this as well, that it was from the Lord. They served the same God. This comes from the Lord. So it's okay, you can take our daughter. And now we're going to the last part in this story, and that's the young boy, Isaac. And we're going to verse 62. Now Isaac had come back from a journey to Beer Lahai Roy, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward the evening, and he raised his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Rebekah raised her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He is my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself. For the young man, we read here, Isaac, in verse 63, towards the evening, he went to pray in the field. He went to meditate. And we all know, because of all the chapters before this, that he already walked with Abraham as a sacrifice to the Lord. And he wasn't resisting. He wasn't talking back to his father. He was obedient to his father. We know that from the Lord, from the Word. And we see and we read here that in the evening, he was a man of prayer. He went out into the field to pray. So as a young man, be that also. If you want that you make good choices and that you go into the right direction also with your wife, then as a young man, you need to be a praying man, a man of prayer. Because it's nice that we go and out and we see beautiful young ladies. Fine. Very nice. But is she the girl for you? Did God confirm that to you? Furthermore, we read in verse 66, the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The word love here, I searched for the word. In the Hebrew, it says, ahahafa. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. But it's about the meaning. And the meaning is, it means spiritual and emotional love. Let me say it this way. I will give you a little bit of my life. Only it's not to get a reward or an applause. But before this, a year or 10 ago, I didn't do this. I didn't walk with my children. My work was way more important at that moment in life. I was building my own kingdom on earth. And actually, Case asked me if I wanted to speak and to do the 10-minute for everybody has something service. And I went into praying and I was like, Lord, I can share something about myself, but there is more that I want to give. It doesn't deserve 10 minutes. So that's why I asked Case, can I speak a full sermon? And then I got this subject. And this is so precious to me. Because I just shared with you how I started out as a Christian. And my dream has always been a wife, children, a home, and maybe a dog. And that was really my dream. But since then, since my conversion, I have been working so hard, and I really hope, and I pray, and I am often on my knees, and I pray that they grow up and do what the Word says. And so I thought, and then Vivian shared, she came with a brilliant story. She's like, why don't you do both? Why don't you give a little testimony and share from the Word? And I was like, but honey, then I do have to share everything about how we started, that we started out wrong. But there's hope. We came out of it because of His help. So that's why what I wanted to bless you guys with and also warn you. But we need to do that sometimes. Because I love you as a congregation. And this is what I wanted to bless you guys with. And now I want to end with a prayer from Ephesians 3. So if you want to all close your eyes, it's a wonderful prayer. It's an encouraging prayer. Also for us as men and women and children, as boys and girls. And I really want to encourage you with that. So please close your eyes. Then I'm going to read it from Ephesians 3, from 14 to 20. And I changed it to a prayer. For this reason, we bow our knees for the Lord Jesus Christ. To every generation in heaven and earth is called, so that He will give us to the riches of His greatness, that He will grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner self, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the width and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.